Hello, and welcome back to the to Maybe We'll Talk, a podcast that is not called The Least Ready Room, where I talk to people on the phone. My friends, mostly, I think. I don't know. You know, people come and go through your life like stones in a river, or that might not... I don't know if that... Who cares? I mean, what am I doing? I'm not even... hi, yeah, let's talk about Twin Peaks some more. I think, I have a rough plan. We talked about it a little bit last night, but one of the next episodes, well, the next episode, next week, we are going to talk about Twin Peaks. We're also going to have Pete on to talk about The Stand. An episode following that sometime in the future. It may be the one following it. It depends on how much Twin Peaks content I have to cut each week, because this episode is going to be a long one. We had a lot to talk about, me and Locke, after episode 7. And that's what we're talking about today. Next week we'll talk about The Stand. Someday soon we will talk about the 1984 Dune movie. We're definitely on a Lynch kick, because I think last night we decided we're going to talk about Lost Highway at some point in the future. And I'm trying to wrap up this season, but I think those movies... Maybe the Dunwich Horror might be part of the next project that I'm going to be doing something else instead of season 3. I do think we'll come back to this. Maybe we'll talk. The Least Ready Room it will be ongoing, but I think I'm going to take a break from this podcast to do a more visual type of show for a season. There will be more information about that whole thing as it begins. But really, we have a lot to wrap up here. We're going to wrap up Twin Peaks The Return. We're going to talk about The Stand next. We're going to talk about Dune 1984 at some point. We are going to talk about Schenectady, New York. It's funny. The movie is called Schenectady, New York. There is... Me and Iggy, when we watched this movie, said both of these words about 1,000 times until we could get them straight. There's a town called Schenectady. And there's a movie called Schenectady, and it's I have to lean over to look at the whiteboard I still don't have it straight, but yeah, Schenectady, New York is probably going to be the final episode of this season. But at some point in between all the Twin Peaks, I also want to mix in a Locke episode where we talk about Late Night with the Devil and Stephen King's Revival, which are both things that I adore. And we're also going to talk to Michelle about Yellow Jackets, which I adore. And then more stuff we will be watching in the meantime as we figure out what this next project that's not season 3 is going to be. Boy, I wish... Well, I don't. I almost said I wish I had organized all those thoughts, but I mean, they weren't, you know, to present them. At this point, it's usually unscripted. Sometimes I sit down and write a little script for what I want to say. Most times, especially if we're working through a series or something, I'm like, I'll just get on and talk about what we're doing. So that was a very disorganized sort of appraisal of what the end of this season, the upcoming end of this season, is going to be like. But Schenectady, Yellow Jackets, Late Night with the Devil, Dune 1984, and The Stand are the things I want to make sure we cover. Oh, I also want to do an Ubisoft episode. So Ubisoft, I mean, that might be something for this season, not season 3, an Ubisoft episode. So, in fact, I think it will be. Those movies, and then we've got other stuff that, yeah, might be in the maybe season 3, such as Dunwich Horror. It has been suggested that we watch the 1960s Batman show, which honestly might be its own podcast. Lost Highway, Terror Vision. Yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff that's going to be... I mean, we got plenty of stuff we're going to be watching in Discord. Some of it we're going to be covering on this show. I've said it all now, right? I mean, that was it. That was all the things I need to say. Thank you for listening to Maybe We'll Talk. Those are some of the upcoming topics I want to be on this show. A very disorganized sort of, appraisal of the situation. But here is Locke. We are going to talk about many things, including Twin Peaks.
How goes?
All right. Yeah. That. How you doing?
I'm better than bad.
Yep. Try to spend as much of this week as possible, which is not a good sign.
Say again? Sorry.
I said I've tried to spend as much of this week as possible asleep, which is not usually a good sign, but
Yeah.
you know, sometimes you just got to get through the time period and then it goes back to the other way. Sleep seems like a good option.
Yeah, it's time hack, I
Yep.
guess.
Yeah. Just got to get to the next level.
What's up? Warren Frost is Dr. Donna's father. And Mark,
Yes.
also Mark Frost's father.
The living, not the other way around.
See, there you go. That's not a Coke. That's what I expected to see.
Ah, yes, that's right. Certainly, I do drink a Coke from time to time, but
It's
not
not
for Coke
hurting.
drinking day. I definitely don't celebrate any Coke holidays.
Like Christmas.
Right, 'cause Christmas is owned by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Is that the reason that the man is red?
Yeah.
It is, right? That's he
It
was green
is,
or
yeah.
something, or
That's
whatever
the
they
joke that
were.
I was.
Green or,
Yeah.
yeah.
The devil, you mean?
Yeah, the guy in the red
Yeah.
pajamas.
Red leotard.
And a pitchfork that a lot of people are really concerned about.
Yeah.
We got a glimpse of Dale Cooper for one moment, maybe. That certainly was Dale Cooper using his detective skills
Yeah.
against Ike the Spike, whose hand he squeezed
Twist his
off.
hand off. Squeeze his hand off.
Squeeze
That's
his
right.
hand off.
Squeeze his hand off. That's a very particular. Not twist.
Twist even would be twist. I would even expect
Yeah,
before
that would
squeeze
make
off.
sense. But squeeze
Off.
off.
Yeah, those two things next to each other. Not that super common.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know why I'm thinking of frosting. If I were to like squeeze off a tube of something, to like squeeze and close something, I might say I was squeezing it off. I don't know when I
I
would have
mean, you can
described anything other
pinch
than
off.
pinch off a, well, you can pinch a loaf.
A
Yeah.
loaf can be pinched.
But
Squeeze
squeezing
off.
off, yeah. Squeeze off his hand. Like all every part of that. Squeeze his hand off. Like squeeze his hand.
Yeah,
All right,
squeeze
I'm
his
with you
hand.
there.
Hurt him. Make him
Yeah.
drop the gun. Remove it via squeezing.
Squeeze his hand off. I'm gonna
I
get a
like
t-shirt.
that in the scene, that's the part that we find weird. Not the little alien
Well, I
fungus
mean,
tree electric mouth boy.
there's certainly, a universe where there's a version of this TV show made by a less balls to the walls person who, where the tree pops up and just says, kill him, kill him.
Yeah.
That's almost what you would expect to happen in,
Yeah.
whatever the fuck boring thing you watch on TV.
Squeeze his hand off. I just Googled squeeze his hand off, and we are not the first.
To remark upon how great that is, of a thing that is to
Yeah.
command somebody to do to another man. So Jerry Horn thinks he is high, and I think that that actor aged the most out of every actor.
Yeah, that had not occurred to me. He aged like.
Jerry Horn was like a young guy. He
Yeah,
now
he was
looks
younger than
twice as
his
old as
brother.
Ben. He certainly appeared younger than Ben in the 90s.
Man, maybe I need to eat less brie.
And less
baguette.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Pot muffin. But the brie and baguette is what'll do you more than the pot muffin, probably. Do we see him? We only see him that much in this episode, huh? We will see more of him being lost in the woods. But as I recall, most of the rest of this show, he is lost in the woods. I'm not sure if he makes it back at all.
They're like, what can this character do in the show? Well, he can be lost in the woods.
He's definitely going to be high. This is definitely a guy, now that it's 2017, was pot legal in Washington? Jesus, and probably. But it was definitely coming around, you know, in Washington. Washington and Colorado were the two big ones. So we're definitely going to, he's definitely going to be, and also he's also the source of the family's income. Nobody's staying at that rinky dink.
Oh, the hotel.
Hotel, that tourist trap of a hotel. But it is, he basically tells Ben that in episode one or two. He's like, by the way, all of our money is coming from my pot. So
yeah. Shut yeah, he is. He's the one.
A couple weird scenes with Andy where he's trying to track down Richard Horn.
Is that what he's doing? I wasn't clear on what Andy was doing, but I.
So that truck that's in the front yard of that guy's house,
mm-hmm.
is the truck that Richard ran over a child with.
Yes. Which is not.
Which you
or think... is it?
It might not be.
I assumed it was.
It may not be. I think that this has to do with... I seriously don't know if that character's name is Richard Horn or not.
yeah, the one who's designed in a wind tunnel?
Yes, the wind tunnel blade-faced man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Richard Horn.
Yeah. So I think that what Andy is doing has to do with that. But, I mean, you would think that a police officer... comes to your house and a vehicle that is known to have been involved in a murder is in your mm-hmm. front yard, you don't get excited and yell at the police officer until he leaves.
Tell him to go away.
He usually will not go away.
Yeah, that, but Andy, that's...
But it's Andy.
It is Andy. And who has a Rolex, interestingly enough.
A very expensive watch, which I don't think is explained at all, because we definitely see him bickering with his wife over like what she...
Oh, do we?
Later, maybe.
Oh yeah,
over
yeah.
What kind of cheap furniture to buy? So
for the, yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, if he did something heroic, maybe would he have been rewarded? Because the show takes a moment to linger on his very expensive Rolex.
Yeah, or it might have been a gift from someone.
Exactly, something like that. Or yeah.
Maybe Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Got it for him.
Maybe the Michael Cera character. Wally something?
Oh, I just meant Michael Cera.
Oh, or maybe Michael Cera got it for Andy.
For Andy the character.
Right.
He's like, hey, I want to give this to the character. Of Andy. Because I like him.
But yeah, I feel like there's a lot... I feel like there's a... I noticed these two scenes with Andy mainly because I think I recall them not really going anywhere.
Or yeah.
Like, I think this time I'm noticing more... the little scenes that I know don't really have follow-ups.
Right, because you know where it goes.
Because I know where the story is going now. And
yeah, that's really interesting. It hadn't occurred to me, but...
And I think there are a lot of loose ends in this episode, actually. I don't think we find out about Mr. Strawberry at all, other than...
No, we don't.
I mean, but I think we know... We maybe know enough about it at this point.
Maybe the impression that I got was it is essentially a plot device to get
sure
Doppelganger Coop out of prison.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of like, it's like, okay, well, how did he know that he was going to that prison?
Yeah, that we'll never know.
And
we'll never know why he knows this about the warden.
Yeah. Well, he knows about the warden. He also prepared the dog leg scenario.
Yeah, if he did. But there was one dog leg.
Right.
We did see a dog leg, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, that could be improvising, but...
yeah. No, but yeah, and it varies. A lot of that could be, but...
And he is, you know, connected to the lodge, so he might just know terrible things.
You know what? That might be it. It may be that he just knows terrible secrets and he's able to exploit them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as far as, like, what we need to know, I don't think we need to know anything more. We know a secret. We know that Coop knew it.
Doesn't he mention Mr. Strawberry earlier, though?
When he makes his phone call, you know, they make it look like he's going to be making a phone call in private. And he sits down and he, like, looks directly at, you know, either the camera or the glass or whatever. And he says, "Now that we're all here, I think I'll make my phone call. But who should I call? Mr. Strawberry?" And he says, like,
"Oh, that's right."
He says, like, "I don't think Mr. Strawberry's taking calls." And I wasn't looking at how the warden was reacting, because I didn't recall where it was going to go in this episode.
Yeah, I bet the warden has some kind of spooky face.
Yeah.
At that. Well, it's nice that it's got a little bit, it ties to a little bit more than just being like, and in this scene, he Deus Ex Machina's his way out of the prison.
Yeah.
Like, they set it up at least. That's cool. I mean, I don't expect David Lynch to tie anything off. It's not about, it's like the feeling of the piece of art, not the consistency of the story.
Exactly, which is why at this point I don't mind all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Now I'm told, because now at least I know it's like, at least, and this statement is solely as far as how much this show compares to season two.
Okay.
And the statement is, now it feels intentional. Like everything, every single thing in this, even though I have a bunch of things that I noticed in this episode, like, wow, I think that goes nowhere. Yeah, for some reason, this episode, and by the way, I don't know if you know which episode the next one is.
Is it The Woodsman?
I think it's that one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I hope so. I love that one.
I think that's episode 8.
Okay. Was it with the bug and the,
yeah, the
testing?
Bug and the
yeah,
testing.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, I want to make sure.
I believe that's episode 8, so I think that's what we have. We have the episode that is absolutely about everything else in the show coming up, so this is a good episode to have a bunch of threads. I don't think we see... Is that woman on Star Trek? Ben Horn's?
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
Ben Horn's assistant is... Oh, God, what's her name?
Yeah. Correct.
Anyway, yeah, she's Wesley's girlfriend, and she also appears on Darmok.
Oh.
The Darmok episode.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
As a human, as the same character?
I think so.
I think, yeah, because I think she played the same character in a couple episodes.
Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd. Bam. Ba-ba-ba. There we go. Yeah, good job. Good job.
Thank you.
I sort of feel like the noise does go somewhere.
Mm. What it made me think of was the tea kettle or the steam pot thing. But I don't know if that's any connection or just my mind.
The big steam pot that's somewhere outside of our reality?
Yeah.
Have we seen that thing yet?
No.
Okay. We've been doing that same kind of thing a little bit. Like, well, wait, really? Well, not yet.
Not yet. But it did also seem like it was... So they focused heavily on the lamp, but I think that was like a red herring.
I think
because
there's
the totem pole.
To be in the corner. Ooh, yeah.
And then there was also the native like piece of hanging art. Because they look at the lamp.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go to the totem pole corner, and then they come back and they pan up to the piece of native art. And like, that might mean nothing, but
it might mean nothing. Yeah.
Those are the two corners.
Which I think is important.
Yeah.
I think noises, vibrations, but also places like doorways and even corners and places where, you know, horizon lines come together.
The Hounds of Tyndalos would agree with you.
Yes, those guys. I think David Lynch may not know about the Hounds of Tyndalos.
But they know about him.
Yeah. But I think he knows that demons live in corners.
Yeah. Yeah. Right angles are
weird.
Yeah. They're not supposed to be.
Also in that room with them is something, is a key that has not been in the building.
Yeah, that's
for
true.
25 years.
25 years. Which, yeah, keys yeah. are powerful objects.
According to that guy that wrote about The Hound of Tyndalos, and also probably according to David Lynch and many other people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and doorways and corners.
They open
and
things.
Places that intersect and things that can be locked and unlocked. Yogg-Sothoth was really into a silver key of some type, I believe.
Who's the dude, who's the dude that Doppelkoop wants out of prison with him?
That guy,
is it just his buddy?
Well, it's not his buddy.
No, especially with the way things go between them after, yeah. But like...
It's the dude that he said to, like, I don't need anything, Ray.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
That guy, I believe that Ray is in cahoots with David Bowie.
Huh.
Do you recall the character's name? But you know, no. Philip Jeffries.
Yep, Philip.
So I believe that Ray may have been in cahoots with Philip Jeffries to set up Bad Coop in, to mm-hmm. some extent, something like that. But Ray did something. Huh. Ray set this up. Ray is
okay.
perhaps the reason they're in jail.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And he's the guy that, yeah, that Coop has sort of been idly threatening. I think that when we follow up with Andy, he's just getting stood up, right? It's just like a few
yeah.
seconds of him standing on the side of the road where he said he would meet the guy that chased him away.
Yeah, yeah, and then looking at his watch to see how long it's been.
So we have the scene with Warren Frost. How do you like the sheriff's desk?
Oh, I love the sheriff's desk.
I just love that it's like, if he had like pressed a button and the screen came
yeah.
up like that, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he's got a big wooden lever.
A big wooden lever.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And the monitor rises from the desk. Great.
Yeah.
I also think it's so funny. It's obviously funny seeing these two very old gentlemen talk about Skype and how they use it all the time, which at
yeah.
the time was old.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
So that, I think, that's got to be the final performance of Warren Frost.
Hmm.
Which this episode was dedicated to, and what a legend.
Yeah.
I think she's a CIA agent that goes to check on Major Briggs.
Oh, yeah.
And the big revelation of this time, it's a body. So they've been finding Briggs's fingerprints.
Prints. Like,
all over
the
place, which is great.
Yeah.
Which doesn't get too followed up on, because we don't really know what happened to Major Briggs, and we never do.
No.
We know something happened. He went somewhere.
Yeah.
He should not
He went
have gone,
somewhere. Something happened.
And nobody ever found out what happened to him, including the audience.
Yeah.
That's a threat. No one's going to know what happened to you.
Yeah.
Including the audience.
And like, headless body of man in 40s with your fingerprints was like, God, it's so eerie.
I believe that is the scene where we see the woodsman.
Yes, walking down the hallway.
Is there a little bit of a radiation crackle that accompanies them? There's definitely
Ooh.
A crumpling and a
yeah.
almost a radius, almost a hum. An electrical
like a
hum.
Static-y kind
of... There's the sound design in this, and I've talked before about the all of these types of energy feeling like they're either connections to other places or emanations of other vibrations or glimpsing
yeah.
something you should not have. The woodsmen are incredible.
Oh, they're so good. They're so good and they're so bad.
You know about the low men.
I do.
The woodsmen are a lot like the low men.
Oh, no.
Really? I mean, but it's almost you look at him and you know something's wrong, but maybe he's just passing down the hall and going the other way, but like, it takes you a minute to notice that he's covered in oil or whatever it is, whatever
yeah,
the thing
some
is
kind
that's
of...
wrong. And then you
yeah.
kind of are like, well, maybe I just won't notice this guy. And meanwhile, like, reality is starting to distort as he passes by.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
I was listening.
It is like that.
I don't know
you're listening
why.
To?
I've been listening to Revival by Stephen King. I don't know.
You recommended that one to me, I think.
Oh, I sure did. I definitely did. It's a tight one. It's maybe not as short as a Buick 8, but it's a tight little story. He has stories that are about one thing that happens to one guy or a group of guys, and then he has stories that happen to a whole town. So, like, Revival and Buick 8 are, like, ones that just happen to a couple guys.
Nice. Okay. I'll go get it right now.
And I don't know why I was thinking about low men, because they don't show up. And he may have mentioned something about something being low, but a quote occurred to me about regarding the low men.
Mm.
And it's in Hearts in Atlantis, where they first show up. Hearts in Atlantis has a lot to do with, like, going to the library and reading books and reading classic literature. And two of the books that the narrator, I don't know if it's from the first person perspective, but the narrator is in the stream of consciousness that is the book. The narrator has been talking about of Mice and Men and about Lord of the Flies. And he's kind of figuring something out about humanity. And the quote, which I'm going to get somewhat incorrect, is, "People needed a beast to hunt. They found themselves a Ralph or a Piggy or a big dumb Hulk of a Lenny, and they sharpened a stick at both ends, and they became low men."
That is such an ugly, true thing.
Yeah, I think those two words next to each other, low men, really sing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like squeeze his hand off.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it's
low men.
Low men.
Yeah. He must have said something about something being low in Revival.
Yeah.
Because it's like even that word has a certain low. Yeah.
Yeah, and it also ties into the sort of vibrational, like,
a weird vibration, something low.
Yeah, low, below, under.
Exactly, yeah, love it.
Subterranean.
We got some real zingers out of Diane. What was your name again? Tammy.
Tammy.
Fuck you, Tammy.
Fuck you, Tammy. Yeah. She I had forgotten about the exchange between her and Doppelkoop.
Pretty bad. Yeah, pretty scary.
So bad.
Of course she's in complete darkness. Of course she's floating in a void while this is how this is being presented to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where was the last place you saw me? And that the robotic thing that he's the low man thing that he's fucking doing at your house. Like, fuck. Oh,
fuck. God. It's like, it's, and it, I mean, not just the same line, but also the same vibe as the guy in Lost Highway.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That, like, yeah.
I'm at your house right now. Call me.
Unbelievably threatening. Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coop may as well have said, "I'm in your house right now."
Yeah.
And it would have been just as scary.
Oh. Also, the, like, it is such a horrible, like, it seems to me pretty clearly insinuating sexual assault. And, like, kind of, like, gloating.
Yeah. He says that it's a night he'll always remember as well.
Exactly. Like, yeah,
he's happy about it. It's fucked up.
Yeah. And it's not entirely clear to what extent that is the, like, he is happy to have done the thing, the horrible thing to her because he enjoyed it. And to what extent there's this, like, twisted, no, it was a good experience for both of us. Like, because there's some of that tone in some of those types of violation things, and, like, oh, it's so ugly and awful the way that he delivers those lines. And it's also like, because he is Doppelkoop, it could be something else. Like, it might not just be the human version of whatever, you know, people do to each other.
Right. Like, yeah, we don't, yeah.
We do not know. Thanks, Lynch, because that's worse when you don't know.
I feel like we find out more. We definitely find out more about
that.
Well, Diane, anyway. But we may find out more about what happened. And, yeah, maybe in this episode we maybe get our only mention of Audrey Horne.
Mm.
I don't, and I'm not sure, because someone may mention her in relation to Richard, because she is obviously Richard's mother, but it's possible that that mention from Warren Frost, because I don't think the other characters talk about her very much at all. And that might be, we sort of speculated as to whether they do at all. And I sort of remembered this, and this is what I was, this could be it.
She did survive the explosion.
She survived the explosion, but we don't know much, and at least enough to give birth to a monster.
Yeah. Like, you don't even you don't even have to be conscious to do that.
Some kind of Greek maiden that was dressing up as a cow or whatever.
Yeah. God, what a cursed. Cursed place.
Greece.
Except, like, it's like, Norma seems to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shelley seems to be okay.
Well, Shelley's in a relationship with a man who makes coins hang in the air and appear in other men's mouths.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll find.
She's not okay.
She seems okay. Her daughter's on cocaine and hanging out with the guy from Anti-Man.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
We're going to see another Haywood. We're going to see the long-lost Haywood sister very briefly. Do you remember that Donna had a sister? She had a sister in, like, one episode of, like, the first season.
No.
Yeah, Donna.
Is she a younger sister?
Yeah. She may be in two episodes. She might be at the funeral.
Huh.
Yeah. But barely. But she comes back to be Amanda Seyfried's rival for the Heart of Banshee, a.k.a. the guy from Antiviral, a.k.a. one of the best actors working today. Like, he's so awful and so upsetting in every role that he plays, including especially this one. God, he's awful in this one. He's just, like, drooling and dripping and crying.
Oh, the Caleb Landry?
Yes.
I think is, I just Googled it. Yes. He's a bad man in the show.
This is what I will say about Caleb Landry. In every performance I've seen him, he has given 150% of the character. Like, over the top actor.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy is very good at his craft.
I highly recommend Antiviral, directed by Brandon Cronenberg.
Noted.
Disgusting. I mean, not just blood and guts. This is a movie dripping with pus and snot and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's just what I want.
I don't recommend it. Don't watch it. How do you like?
Maybe like I'll follow it up with the troop right afterwards.
The troop, squeeze his hand off.
I threw a link to a shirt with that on it into the chat for you. the lounge. There's somebody on Redbubble decided that it needed
to
exist.
Holy shit.
Right?
Like, what would you say when someone looks at you at a party and says, "So what the fuck is up with this shirt that you're wearing?"
I would say, squeeze his hand off. That's the only thing you can say if you're wearing that shirt.
I feel like there was something else that I had thought of, that I had observed as like, well, I don't think that's... Oh, yeah, it's Ashley Judd's husband. I think that's about it that we see.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That one very uncomfortable little scene is about that for him. And that's like, I feel like this episode had a lot of intensely uncomfortable scenes, many of which stop being relevant.
Yeah, it's just like, here's something horrible.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I
do wonder, you know how there was the thing that we watched, the YouTube thing that's like all the deleted scenes,
yes.
Firewalk?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there is something like that for this, where there's like a whole bunch of other stuff that we never got to see.
Boy, I would love
that would be,
to know.
Because that would be a treasure trove, yeah.
The big question... What was the big question in everybody's mind when Twin Peaks was first on the air?
The return?
No, 1990.
Oh, who killed Laura Palmer?
Right. Ashley Judd asks a question that gives Ben Horn pause. And maybe...
Who's Agent Cooper?
Who is Laura Palmer?
Oh, who is Laura Palmer? Yeah.
And I wrote that down because this show might be about, while the first version was about who killed Laura Palmer, this show might be about who is Laura Palmer.
That's interesting. I felt like Firewalk with me really intensely.
I think that,
about that particular thing.
I think Firewalk with Me was maybe about both, but I think it was still about what happened.
Yeah, what happened to Laura Palmer exactly?
Where I think, and I don't know if we get any more of an answer to any of these questions, but I think as this goes on, it becomes more, especially the back half of this. Becomes more about who Laura Palmer is. Also in this episode, 5 full minutes of a man sweeping the floor.
Sweeping a floor. I was like, the pressure on that guy. I was like, I wonder what he's thinking about.
Yeah.
Don't
look at a camera. Don't look up. Yeah. Don't look anywhere.
Yeah.
Sweep the fucking floor.
Also, like, do a good job sweeping. Because this is a long, continuous take.
Yeah.
And if you don't do the sweeping right,
you're gonna look like a fucking extra who's not.
You're gonna look like an idiot.
Yeah, they probably they must have gone to a bar and gotten whoever was sweeping the floor and been like, "Come over, come on to our set."
Yeah. Well, also, he's sweeping exactly the part of the floor that the camera shows.
Yes.
He doesn't.
That's
because there's more floor.
Yeah.
There's more floor, and he doesn't sweep. There's one peanut shell. Because he's like, and he's clearly trying to stay within the frame as he's sweeping. And there's one part where he like needed to go a little bit further to get the last peanut shell, and it stays in frame. So it's like, that was what showed me that it was like very intentional, this like space that he's sweeping.
Very intentional, like absolutely everything. Somebody really wanted to show us those 5 minutes of sweeping.
I thought it was going to be at first like one of those like, and then the credits roll.
Yeah, you're waiting the whole time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, the credits are going to roll any second now.
Yeah, and then it continues on with the Renaults being bad guys.
Yeah, what do you think about twinning? We got any
twinning?
We got some doubles and doppelgangers. Well, Jean-Michel is played by the same guy.
Right.
Who is the character that's dead. He's played by the actor
as Jacques Renault.
That played Jacques, who is dead.
Yeah.
Jean-Michel could be a cousin or a twin, or this could just be the world next door, where Jean-Michel is still running things. If David Lynch came out and was like, "Yeah, every other scene is actually taking place in a different reality," I'd be like, "Well, it still makes sense. It makes perfect sense to me."
Yep, that tracks. That fits the available information.
Because Cooper, there's definitely 2 or 3 Coopers. Is someone else? And we see a doppelganger of both Palmer's father, Leland.
Yeah,
and,
Leland.
And the evil FBI guy with the cage full of spiders. So, like, those guys have Does the FBI guy have a doppelganger, or does he just go into the lodge and Bob like fries his brain? Is he in this?
Windermere.
Windermere? Is he in season 3? Do we see him getting cooked or?
I don't remember.
I feel like we see like. I feel like I can picture like Windermere like screaming and Bob like kind of taunting him or something. Like, I feel like something bad happens to him. And I don't think it happens in the show. Although it could be. It could be the very end of season 2. That's something. But so at least, Leland and Coop have a twin, and Laura sure does. And in fact, there's probably a couple Dianes, I think. I don't want to totally explain. Not, you've seen the ending, but I also, you know, we'll also get
there. Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of, so not just are there maybe worlds that are next to each other, but there are a lot of versions of several of the central characters. And that's why I noticed Jean-Michel in the sweeping scene.
Yeah. And he's talking about
the same kind of thing. Oh, there it is.
A pair of girls.
Yeah. And that's obviously exactly what I was talking about right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's season 2, I believe. Yeah, that's season 2.
Oh, so it is the end of season 2. Okay.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get doppelganged, but he gets into the Black Lodge and gets messed up
because he was looking for the Black Lodge, I think.
Yeah, he was. Which that seems to me like, it seems to me that if you're trying to get there, that they just fuck you up when you get there.
Right.
It's like, that's like the first rule they have on the door.
Yeah.
If you want to be here, you're not the type of person that we want here.
Yeah. We only want people who don't like it here.
And that's it. And that's, yeah.
They're like Cenobites. Like, oh, you open, except the Cenobites are the opposite, because the Cenobites want people who want to get fucked up.
They just want, I think the Cenobites just think they're funny. Because it's like,
there is a point where someone opens the box, like they give the box to like a person on the spectrum who's really good with puzzles.
Yeah.
And they're not interested in expanding their experiences. They're just playing with a toy. The Cenobites get there and they're like, nah.
Yeah. The first guy is like, I feel like he thinks he's getting pleasure beyond his wildest. I think the general gist, and I could be wrong about all this, but how I kind of remember it usually happening is that the person unlocking the box has been promised pleasure beyond their wildest dreams. And then the Cenobites,
or new experiences.
Yeah, or that. Or I'm so bored with all that this physical world has to offer. It's curiosity. I'm so curious. I need new experiences. Yeah. And it's usually a physical experience they're seeking. But then the Cenobites show up and they're like, we fucking got you, motherfucker.
We're here to tell you all about new experiences.
We're
going
to
make you feel so much shit.
Your flesh. Yeah.
I think the idea is that, like, eventually the person, like, will like it.
Maybe, yeah. And maybe even join them.
Yeah. Like, I think they're like, no, we can't tell the difference between pain and pleasure. Like, it's just the extremity of nervous system experience is what we want.
I think Pinhead is a guy that opened the box. Like,
that sounds right.
I don't know about the other ones. There was some first lady with Adam Scott.
Unrelated, except that it's horror, but I'm reading the third collection of
John Langan.
John Langan.
Man, you're on the
Corpse
third
Mouth
one,
and other biographies.
Yeah,
Corpse Mouth and other autobiographies.
I really ought to
this one is chock full of Black City.
Oh man, which one is
and
it?
It's all short stories that are unrelated to each other.
Yeah.
But the Black City and that ocean has shown up in like probably half a dozen of them. So, good stuff.
Which collection?
Recommend. This is Corpse Mouth.
Oh.
Corpse Mouth and other autobiographies. I liked Sephira and Other Betrayals a lot. The Wide Carnivorous Sky and Other Monstrous Geographies was good.
I mean, that's
a great title.
That calls to me. Yeah, that's a Jesus.
That's got a vampire story in it that is really good.
Cool.
I liked that one, but Corpse Mouth, I think, might be that and the Betrayals one. I think were the I like those better than the other one, but they're all really good.
Yeah, I gotta get one of those books because they don't have them at my library.
Yeah, and then after I finish that, I'll go into room. I just picked it up on Kindle.
Cool. I really like that one.
We could talk about it.
Cool. Yeah, I also still really want to watch Late Night with the Devil. I might.
Yeah, that's fun. It's on streaming now. Not for free.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is free, but... Yeah, Late Night... I thought the Late Night with the Devil... I won't say anything, sure. But like, I think it did what it wanted to do.
Okay.
Which is...
Good.
You know, like for a piece of artwork, like that's a good goal. I thought it did what it wanted to do, it did it well, and I was into what it wanted to do. So I liked it.
Okay, thank you for listening to Maybe We'll Talk. Boy, yeah, so I guess in the intro I said this was going to be a long one. The reason I thought it would be a long one is because in the recording for this I had recorded the entire episode of Peaks 7, episode 7 of Twin Peaks The Return, which normally I don't do, so that's why I thought there was more. But anyway, I mean, you saw probably when you put this on how long it was. It's the length of, you know, what most of these have been lately, and we'll see what the length of the ones we'll see, because we're, like I said, a couple different things coming up. We've got The Stand will be next week, and we got the coverage of Dune 1984 coming up, Yellow Jackets, the Late Night with the Devil, and like one other thing, and then some of those things are, like I said, season 3 is going to be different. And let me say thank you for listening to Maybe We'll Talk. Did I say that already? But thank you for listening. I'm reminded right now my water pump is going off. And I edited this while listening to the dishwasher, that pump going off from time to time, and also the air conditioner. It's very hot and muggy, very thick and wet and steamy today, and it's going to thunderstorm. We got that pre-thunderstorm, like, just oppressive atmosphere going on. So we're all inside with the air conditioner turned on. But anyway, that's slightly relevant to where I was going, which is that, the audio on this one, if you listen to this one, thank you for bearing with me. There's nothing wrong with that audio, I don't think, but I did my best to clean it up because it wasn't ideal. But now, you may have, in previous episodes, I may have mentioned some issue I was having where my microphone would, without warning me, go down to basically 50% volume, and that has been worked out now. And that was going on in this recording, and I did my best. You maybe even through the recording figure out that I was slowly figuring out where I wanted the levels to be as I kind of fixed it bit by bit as I went through it. And again, I don't know, I never want to sound like, oh, this is so much work. It's not. This is fun. I'm having so much fun. I'm so happy to be here. Like, this is, like, right now, with all my little projects that I have going on, this is the one that I'm just, like, it's just a hobby. It's just something I'm doing. It's just, like, you know, I'm not stressed about this fucking thing. But what was, oh, yeah. So, anyway, also, Locke has a new microphone that he's using that sounds great. I feel like I should. I'm gonna DM him. He might. Locke, your new microphone sounds great. I'm very pleased with some of the recent recordings, which we'll get to. Right now, we're at a point where I'm listening to last month's recordings, and I'm obviously listen hardest and look the hardest at anything that I'm making and doing, and get all bent out of shape about it, and then it comes out sounding like shit anyway. No, I mean, this is right. Was it okay? I hope it was okay. I hope, you know, let's move on. So, yeah, so that's, so those are the things that are coming up. Yeah, The Stand is next. Dune 1984. Lost Highway, I think, was the other thing. We may or may not. I feel like we will, because this has been a very David Lynch-y season of this podcast. I feel like we will look at Lost Highway among with all the along with all those other things that I mentioned. And I should be, I'm supposed to be publishing a list on Discord of these things that we're going to be watching. And yeah, maybe I will do some of those things I just said. But I mean, I should. Yeah, I don't really have that schedule of what we're going to be watching is on a. It's written on a whiteboard in my living room, and it's also that's it. That's where it is. Oh, and it's here. Whenever I say, whenever in this podcast I physically say whatever's coming up, that's the only way, that's the only place any of our upcoming stuff is published. So maybe I'll, yeah, maybe I'll get more organized. I'm slowly getting, like, bit by bit, things are just rolling right along. I really feel like, I mean, right now, I'm feeling, like, honestly, very good this afternoon. Like, I got, like, the business account is in the black, my personal account is in the black, like, I'm gonna be on the road this weekend, I got shit coming up, I got big stuff about to kick off, I got stuff coming up at the end of this month, I got, like, yeah, thank you to be here. Thank you for being here, because it's awesome being here. And check out koyadk.tv for my other socials and other things I might be doing. And also lakehousesoaps.com for my touring schedule, where I am, you know, cruising around to various fairs and markets in Connecticut and selling soap. And you can also just buy soap right from that website, or, you know, Etsy or Patreon or whatever. Yeah, join my Patreon, because for $11 and free shipping to United States addresses, you can receive 2 bars of natural ingredient, handmade, cold-pressed soap, which I made, which is excellent. And, yeah, that's most of the things. If I was going to be advertising, that's most of the things I would say. Those are my plugs. Buy my soap. Join my Patreon to get soap and, like, stickers. And actually, this month, all kinds of stuff. And I'm even sending stuff to free members of my Patreon. So if you join for free, this month, which is July, which is about to be July. When it becomes July, if you've joined my Patreon and your address is there, I will send you free things. I got a bunch of goodies this month, so, and I'll see everyone around Connecticut, and I really am just kind of, I feel like I'm about to start running in a loop, so let's just say the websites one more time, koyadk.tv, C-U-Y-A-D-K.tv. And lakehousesoaps.com. Thank you for being here. Next week, let's talk about The Stand with Pete.